Here at Daleville Christian Church, we would like you to know why and what it is you are celebrating at Christmas. We have an affirmation of faith that reminds us. Today's from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 8. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The reading of God's Word for today is from Romans chapter 6, where verses 22 and 23, where we hear of the gift again. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. All this month here at Daleville Christian Church, we've been talking about the wise men who journeyed to find Jesus. We've talked about them. We've talked about their gifts, their offerings. We've talked about where they might be from. We've talked about the things that they said in Jerusalem. To the wise men was given the knowledge to see a message in the heavens, a message from the mighty God, the Creator, the God of the Jews. Now, the wise men may not have known that our God put that sign there in the heavens, because the wise men were not followers of the Jewish God, at least not until a little later. They didn't know that which God, you might say, had put that sign in the heavens for them to see, but they knew that any birth announced in the heavens had to be an important, significant birth. Now, it may have been that the signs they read in the sky told them how very important this birth was to be. The wise men knew enough to ask about a king of the Jews when they arrived in Jerusalem. The wise men certainly had every intention of finding that newborn king because they brought gifts with them. They were going to make an offering of these gifts to the newborn king. And you know the rest of the wise men's story. They did indeed find Jesus. The wise men worshipped Jesus. The wise men opened up their treasure boxes and made an offering of the gold. They made an offering of the frankincense, and they made an offering of the myrrh. Fast forward to the 21st century, Christmas in America. On Thanksgiving Day in New York City, a man dressed as Santa Claus will conclude a parade that has been held annually pretty much for 90 years. There are others like him, dressed like him, at stores and events across the continent and the 50 states. Traditionally, this man will ask the children who come to him, "What do you want for Christmas?" As a child, what is not to like about Santa Claus? I don't know about you, but there were very few adults in my early days who ever asked me what I wanted. I have a pretty good memory, and I don't think any teacher ever asked me what I wanted. As I recall, the teachers usually told me what they wanted and when. So still today, once a year, a kindly older adult in a red suit asks children, "What do you want for Christmas?" Usually, as I recall, I remember what I wanted for Christmas. I believe I can name every main Christmas gift from the age of 3 until after I was in college. However, when I was 3, I was 3 and a half by Christmas. I don't know that I knew what I wanted for Christmas, but I received one of the most wonderful gifts I ever received for Christmas that year. I remember the moment I saw it. I remember what I was wearing, yellow footy pajamas. They might have been light blue, but I think they were yellow. The gift I received that year is now proudly displayed at my house, proclaiming with a sign, "Look at me, I'm 60 years old this year." No, I didn't know that I wanted that gift, but I have loved it ever since. I didn't know it existed. It was a Western town playset. I don't have all the pieces, but I still have a few. The wise men found what they were looking for. I got the gift that I wanted for Christmas 60 years ago, but I didn't even know it existed until Christmas morning. The Apostle Paul speaks in his letters over a dozen times about gifts and about God's gift of Jesus. As you recall from the Christmas stories, not everyone was pleased with this gift from God called Jesus. King Herod and Herod's cronies were deeply troubled. I think another translation for their trouble is the word vexed. This newborn king wasn't just a problem, it was a vexing problem. And the words that could be used are annoying. It was an annoying problem, a worrisome problem, an irritating problem. After Jesus grew to be an adult and began to teach, Jesus received the same responses. Some came to Jesus and found what they wanted. Others did not find in Jesus what they wanted or expected. The people who did not find what they wanted in Jesus, we usually group together. The Pharisees, most of them anyway, not all of them, but some of them, did not find what they wanted in Jesus. The Sadducees, the Essenes did not find what they wanted in Jesus. And finally, the zealots were also disappointed in what they found in Jesus. Jesus had 12 close followers. Some scholars have a theory that Judas was also finally disappointed in Jesus and was in hopes that a confrontation between Jesus and the authorities would let Jesus prove who he really was. Did Judas want Jesus to take power? Did Judas want Jesus to rouse the crowds to rebel against Rome? It's an interesting idea, and we will never know this side of eternity. Jesus said something rather curious once. "Blessed is he who takes no offense at me." And we think that Jesus could never have offended anyone. But you should read about those passages more. The Bible tells us that some people took offense at Jesus. I have those noted for you in the sermon notes, those passages. Jesus was not what they were expecting, and Jesus was not what they wanted. They might have wanted a Messiah, but not like Jesus. He's eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, the worst of the worst. They might have wanted a Messiah, but he was from Nazareth. He was from Galilee. Messiah doesn't come from there. They might have wanted a Messiah, but he wasn't speaking out against the Romans enough. Later in the infant stories of Jesus, the prophecy of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, will be fulfilled. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant. But when the prophecy was fulfilled, only two people were looking for him, Simeon and Anna. And those two found Jesus independently because the Lord was not present as a man, but the Lord was present as an infant in this temple, in the messenger of the covenant. Another thing about Simeon and Anna, they were looking for, they were seeking. And when they were told and shown, they were not hesitant, they were not crestfallen or disappointed or offended. They were prepared to receive what was given them in Jesus. So the question comes around to you. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, is this Jesus the gift from God that you want? Is Jesus the answer to your prayers? If you do not believe that Jesus is the answer to your prayers and hopes, you have plenty of company. Lots of people who saw Jesus and heard Jesus did not believe Jesus. However, it is a reminder that just as Jesus is a gift, in order to receive the gift, we need to accept the gift. Accept the gift. The Bible talks about this gift many ways. Blood sacrifice, debt forgiveness, liberation. But I would focus your attention in one direction. I've led you to this direction before. There are only 5 references to adoption in the New Testament. I'd like that to sink in. There are only 5 references to adoption in the entire New Testament. Only 5 references, but every one of them concerns God's adoption of you. We've talked about this before, but it's a good reminder as we look at the gift of Jesus to us. There are 2 references to our adoption here in the letter to the Romans in chapter 8. Our reading for today is chapter 6. You can find 2 more references to adoption in chapter 8 of Romans. And there are 2 special things to remember about adoption. They are obvious, but let's not overlook the obvious. The 2 things are certain and clear in adoption that may not be clear in other parenting situations. What's clear in adoption may not be clear in other parenting situations. In adoption, these 2 things are certain. It is certain that the parent wants children. And in adoption, it is certain that the parent wants that particular child. Both of those are certain in adoption. The New Testament states that you and I have been adopted by God. We were adopted through the true and only begotten Son of God, Jesus. Ephesians 1:5 states most clearly, He destined us in love to be His sons through Jesus Christ. We moderns, so sensitized to the language of the sexes, might flinch that the language is not more inclusive. We are destined to be sons through Jesus? Well, blame the ancients for that one. But I remind you, sons in the ancient world were inheritors of father's property. Jews, Greeks, and Romans all practiced that. So for the ancients, Jesus has made us all sons in that regard, to be inheritors of the father's property. There are several references in the Bible, and even from Jesus himself, that we will inherit the Heavenly Father's kingdom. The whole idea of adoption is a reminder that an adopted child did not work to be adopted, and the adopted child did not work to earn adoption. The parent decided to adopt that particular child. So adoption is a gift. So it is with our Lord. Our Lord wanted children he could call his own who would inherit his kingdom, and our Lord wanted you as his child, his son. And our adoption is only possible through God's own only begotten Son, Jesus. One more important fact about adoption. In adoption, the plan is always for the child to come live with the adopting parent. And that is true of our God as well. This was God's plan from the very beginning, that we live with God forever with Him. So there is only one thing the adopted child must do. The adopted child must go with the adopting parent. We have to follow our Lord to our new home. We as adoptees have to receive the adoption and follow the Lord so we can get to our new home. Parents do not adopt children so the child can go live somewhere else on their own. That's silly. Adoption is not just a piece of paper. Adoption is a formal and informal relationship, a living arrangement. There are another dozen Bible verses that state you and I are living in Jesus. Ephesians 2:22, and in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. And Colossians 2:6, so then just as you received Christ our Lord, or just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Friends, receive your gift and live in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.